Last week, I mentioned that this week is National Wildlife Refuge Week, which is one of what I've often called the big ticket items for which I was originally hired to do. The other two being the Alaska Migratory Bird Calendar Contest and our summer EE camps. National Wildlife Refuge Week is an annual celebration of refuges across the United States and its territories. A large part of that celebration, for me, has always been the history of the refuge system, something that's made its way onto this program several times through the years. And a part of that, I think, is that the history of an event or institution is important to its current existence. And the other part is that I just like history. I'll be sharing a bit more about that history in just a bit, and for other reasons as well. This week is also something of a milestone for me, or very close to it. During the third week of October in 2007, I recorded my first episode of Field Notes. I've been doing this for a full decade now. Field Notes has been around for longer than that. More on that in a moment, too. But I've had a hand in it for the past 10 years. Today, at the behest of KDLG's Sam Gardner and my bosses at the refuge, I'd like to take a look back at Field Notes today, as well as dipping into refuge history yet again. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Bristol Bay Field Notes, as a program on this radio station, had its beginnings at the beginning of the century. Sounds funny when you say it or consider it like that, doesn't it? From what I understand, Field Notes was the brainchild of former KDLG news reporter Alexi Rubenstein. His idea was a short radio blurb that served to inform the people of Bristol Bay on a wide range of outdoor and conservation topics. The original idea was for it to be a collaborative effort of many of the agencies in and around Dillingham that deal with natural resources around the area. Ultimately, Togiak Refuge was the only one to really latch on to the idea, and it quickly became a Togiak Refuge production. It has been on air on a weekly basis continuously since March 2000. A great many people who have worked for or volunteered for Togiak Refuge have had a hand in creating Field Notes episodes. Perhaps the name longtime area folks will remember the most is former Togiak biologist and pilot Rob McDonald, who did the majority of the episodes from sometime around the creation of the show until 2006, when Rob took a job in the Panhandle and moved from Dillingham. The original program was somewhat shorter than it is now. Episodes were something like 2 minutes or so in length back then. I entered the picture in late summer of 2007, my first year with the refuge. My original job designation was that I was a term employee. I was hired for 2 years, and the conditions of my employment was that I was guaranteed something like 10 months a year. I was subject to furlough for the rest, and how long I actually got to work each year was subject to funding. Ultimately, I worked for all but 2 weeks of each of those first 2 years before being hired on permanently. A part of those 2 years was finding enough stuff for me to do. The refuge was trying to determine if there was enough work to justify making it a permanent position, so I was only too happy to find things to do. At a monthly staff meeting late that summer, the topic of Field Notes came up. At the time, no one was recording new episodes. KDLG wanted to know if we were going to continue it or give it up for dead. The question was posed at the meeting, are there any volunteers? Well, way back when, during my college years, I had done some radio, football and basketball announcing, for a large high school near my college. They kicked out a few bucks for each game while throwing in money for gas and pizza. It was a sweet gig. Emboldened by that experience, I tentatively raised my hand and said I'd give Field Notes a go. And give it a go I did. In October of 2007, new biologist Michael Swaim and I were shown the ropes for how to do Field Notes by then program director Nathan Grambaugh. Michael had also volunteered, or been volunteered, I don't remember which. We were given the same format, a few minutes, that had been in place, plus how each episode is laid out, a short intro, the body, and a concluding identification, with the music at the beginning and end. It is the format I still follow today. Michael and I were supposed to trade weeks, and that lasted maybe for a few weeks. Within a short time, it shifted solely to me. Not long after that, Nathan, who liked how it was going, asked if I'd like to lengthen the show, which I did. And now you know how I wound up with this gig and why it is the way it is now. My very first episode, as mentioned, was much shorter in length, and it was about the history of the refuge system. Because it was so short, I'd like to share it again in its entirety as a tip of the cap to National Wildlife Refuge Week, and also because this is how it all started for me 10 years ago. This October 7th through 13th marks yet another National Wildlife Refuge Week, celebrating our nation's system of lands set aside for the purpose of wildlife conservation. Currently, there are 548 refuges scattered across the United States and its territories. For those of us who call Bristol Bay home, our connection is Togiak National Wildlife Refuge, just west of Dillingham. But do you know where and how our refuge system got its start? Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. In 1881, German immigrant Paul Krogel arrived in Florida to homestead along the Indian River Lagoon. Directly across from his home, Krogel could see, daily, Pelican Island, a small 5-acre mangrove island in the middle of the lagoon. Thousands upon thousands of brown pelicans would use this island to roost and nest. At that time, there were no state or federal laws to protect the birds, so Krogel would sail out to the island with his gun to stand guard. Krogel was able to form connections with several prominent ornithologists who would come to the island to study the birds. In 1901, he and Frank Chapman, who was the curator for the American Museum of Natural History in New York, led a successful campaign to pass state legislation protecting non-game birds. Krogel was one of four wardens hired to patrol the island. It was dangerous work, and two of the wardens were killed in the line of duty. Chapman realized that the island needed more protection than the state was able to provide. He was acquainted with Theodore Roosevelt, who assumed the presidency of the United States in 1901. He and another protection advocate, William Dutcher, approached Roosevelt about the U.S. government stepping in. On March 14, 1903, and without any fanfare, President Roosevelt signed an order establishing Pelican Island as the first federal bird reservation. Over the course of the rest of his presidency, Roosevelt would go on to establish a network of 55 bird and game reservations, the forerunner of our national refuge system. Pelican Island was the first of those lands set aside, and in being so, was our first national wildlife refuge. Oh, and Paul Krogel? He was hired at Pelican Island to be our nation's first wildlife refuge manager, for the sum of $1 a month. So if someone ever asks you how Togiak National Wildlife Refuge came about, you can tell them honestly that it all started with a German immigrant and a bunch of pelicans in Florida. I don't think when I started, I gave any thought at all to how long I might do this or how long it might last. My only goal back then was finding enough work to do to hang on to the job because I had a hunch I was really going to like it. I have often said that I have the best job in the world, and it's something I still feel and believe over 10 years later. I don't really think about it now, field notes and how long it's been on or might continue, though I do recognize shows in any format usually don't last a decade. I've written and recorded something like 500 episodes or thereabouts. I gave up counting long ago. I just think about it as something about my job I enjoy, which is actually pretty much everything about my job anyway. Field Notes is just a piece to that delightful puzzle. I do know this. The opportunity to do the show has been a very humbling experience. In every village I have ever visited, I hear from people who listen to and like the show. While I've never cared for how my voice sounds on the radio, apparently it's unique because I have people come up to me and ask, "Are you that guy on radio, the one that talks about animals?" I have heard kind words from folks not only around the Bristol Bay region, but from the lower 48 as well, and at one time, several years ago, I heard from a few folks in Australia who listened to the show via the KDLG website. It's folks listening that make any such program work. To everyone who listens to this show, thank you so very much. It's an honor to be allowed to share about the outdoors each week. I can't tell you that I'll still be doing this 10 years from now, but I can tell you this. I have no plans for quitting anytime soon, at least as far as my job with the refuge is concerned. And no one's come forward yet to try and wrestle field notes away from me, so it's likely I'll still be doing this for the foreseeable future as well. entrusted with the privilege of doing field notes. I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitude Zat, www.solitudes.com.